The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. Today is October 23rd, 2015, and we are sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials. That's www.docsprefer.com. Dr. Wong's on here every month, and he is sponsoring me for Iceland, too, and I thank him. Great guy. Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. Bert is on here every month. His dad usually is on here every 2 to 3 months, and they are sponsoring me for Iceland too. They sent me a beautiful diamond bar, which is basically the best trap bar you've ever seen in your life. Super heavy duty, but the thing is, it's big enough where you can put it in a power rack, so you can pull and press with it. So I thank them both for that. Sorenex.com. Hearts Collision. This is for New York State residents only. Heartscollision.com. Alex and Lori are great friends of mine. As everybody knows, I'm training their 14-year-old son. I'm turning him into he's like a piece of iron already. And he's going to train with me all winter because he's decided he wants to be a strong man. So at 6'1", at 14 years old, he's up to 155 pounds. We put 10 pounds on him. Wait till you see him after this winter. He's going to be training, event training with me the whole winter. This kid will be 175 pounds. Easily. So we're going to go out and kick some ass and win some rounds with him. 518-477-7937. Tell him I sent you. Also, too, we got our good friend Donnie G. Fardino, www.8xclub.com. These are a smaller version, I think, of Indian Club. He doesn't call them that. The tops come off on them, not quite all the way, and they'll have two spots where you can take the weights themselves and put them right in the hole, all right? Turn it back down, tighten it up. They go from 2 to 25 pounds. My shoulders have never felt so good. Donnie had a major injury. They wanted to operate on him. He suffered for 10 years until it's like everything, entrepreneurship, ingenuity, creativity. He figured it out. He cleaned that shoulder up. There's all kinds of video out there, so check that out at www.8xclub.com. Also, the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. This is on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. This has been very successful. It's basically 10 paragraphs to make you think, commit, and act. That's what it's all about. Think, commit, and act, and that's what we're doing with this. So go out and check that out. That's free. Also, the two products we are in the midst of releasing, Strength Times Power Equals Success and the Winner's Circle, they're both on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. The first one was the one that I used for Dennis. I knocked 43 pounds off him in 6 months with this routine. You can plug this into anything. It's all shot in HD, and I'm narrating the whole thing. Dennis was pre-diabetic. We got him. That's all that matters. The Winner's Circle is 27 to 34 minutes of audio, me speaking, everything from the beginnings, the middles, and where we are today. If you like what we talk about on the show, you're going to love this thing. And it is life-changing, both of these products. These are the best things I've done to date. We've got quite a bit sitting there ready to go. So check these both out at FiorelloBarbellCo.com. And think about it. Think about what you want to do with your life. Next, we've got sponsorship. It's $500 a month. You're getting 5 to 15 podcasts a week. I don't know anybody that does that. In the beginning and the end, you're mentioned, and sometimes even during the show. We went and secured money with MDA because muscular dystrophy is what FBC and M&M is dedicated to, because my brother Jimmy died of muscular dystrophy as a young teen. So this is very important. I went to MDA and said, we want to donate. What can I tell everybody that would want to be on with this, the money goes to? Whether you're a believer in flu shots or not, I don't get into that with anybody. I have my beliefs about it. They're very susceptible to colds this time of year. That's what happened to Jimmy. He died in pneumonia. And believe me, my parents did everything they could. They get weak at that point, and it just takes them over. So that's where the money's going for flu shots. I love those kids, and it means a big deal to me. So come on board with us with sponsorship. I promise you we'll direct everything we can to you. If you need any type of branding, Chris can do that. He does all the work here. But I just want everybody to know where that money goes to, because there's too many times people are giving money and having a clue. So that's going to go to these kids with the biggest smiles on their face. FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationMuscle.com. And like I said, Chris Bigelow does everything here. Go out to MonsterDevelopment.com and tell him we sent you. Well, today we have one of my favorites on the show. We have Melody Schoenfeld on here. Melody's been on a few times, and Melody's I'm not a guy that hands out compliments real easy, because that's just the way my father brought us up. My mother was a little bit more lenient about things like that. But I think when you give somebody a compliment or you tell somebody you love them, I think you should mean it. And I don't. And I've never been a big believer in just saying it for the sake of it. When I say it to somebody, I truly mean it. And I admire this woman in a lot of ways. She's been very good to me, number one, with other things. But, you know, she is a nutrition specialist. She's a steel bender. She can tear friggin' books in pieces. That's what I really like. She owns Evil Monkey Enterprises. I call her a strong man, strong woman. I don't know how to say it anymore. You know, I get corrected. Usually a woman will call themselves a strong man. Fine with me, man. It doesn't really matter. And I'm just glad to have her here. And we've got her on here today. And we're going to talk about the bending and the tearing. And I wanted to talk to her about the mindset that goes into this, because, you know, for those of you who don't know Melody, she, and I've never met her. I know what she's told me. I mean, this is 5 feet, and I believe she's probably not any more than 110 pounds, and she can correct me on that.
104.
104, okay. So, you know what I mean? You know, presumptions, I just said to her off air, I was like, you know, most people would equate being able to do that with like a 250-pound man or woman or a 300-pounder. So, Melody, welcome to the show. Give everybody a little bio on yourself, and let's just kick right into some strength.
Okay. My name is Melody, and I own Flawless Fitness, which is a small personal training studio in Pasadena, California. And I also own Evil Monkey Enterprises, which is we make kind of – weird fitness equipment. So we make all kinds of monkey bars and rigs and, you know, squat racks and stuff. And then we do fillable maces that are fillable with water. We do old time styled barbells and dumbbells that are fillable with water. And pretty much if it's made out of steel, we can do it. So we do all kinds of stuff. And then personally, I'm a record holding power lifter, and I also like to bend steel and tear up phone books and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean? It's like you meet you for the first time, be like, so, and don't forget too, she is a kick-ass metal singer. Ed Force, you know, that's Iron Maiden tribute band. What were the other ones? I know you were doing something with Deep Purple, and what else?
Yeah,
are you doing?
I do an Iron Maiden tribute and a Deep Purple tribute, and then I'm also in an original project right now that doesn't have a name yet. Right. We're still writing the music for that one, and then apparently I've been tapped to be in another project that I didn't realize I was being tapped for, so I may be four bands pretty soon.
Nice. But you know something? Isn't it great to have passion and love for what you do?
I couldn't not do music. It's the same as strength training for me. I couldn't not do it, and I'm really fortunate in that I get to do everything that I'm passionate about. So
imagine going up and meeting Melody for the first time and say to her, "So what do you do?"
It takes a while for me to explain.
She'd give you the whole litany, and then you'd say, "Well, I bend steel and I tear phone books," and I'd be like, "What?" You know what I mean? It'd be so slick. All right. Well,
oh,
look.
Yeah. The other day I just came back from, I taught a workshop in the Philippines, and I assisted one in Korea, and it was in the airport, and they, you know, they always go through my bag because apparently I look like a terrorist. I don't know. They saw something suspicious in my bag, and they pulled it over, and it turned out I had forgotten that I had an Iron Mind nail in there. And, they don't have points on them. They're blunt on both sides. Yeah. So it's just basically a flat, you know, it's just a piece of steel with flat ends. But they're just looking at it, and they were like conferring amongst each other. And then finally they came up to me, they were like, "What is this?" And I just went, "Oh, I bend them." And they just looked at me for a while, and then they just handed it back and sent me through. They didn't know what to say.
Yeah. They didn't want to have those hands wrapped around their throat, basically. You know what I mean? It's like, wow.
I don't think they really understood what I was talking about. And I think they were like, it'll be just easier if we just send her through.
Yeah, we're not going to do it. Hey, last time I went to Iceland, the rat bags ended up taking. I had a couple protein drinks made. They took them. And I was like, are you frigging
kidding? Oh, yeah, it's the liquid. Don't take it.
I was like, you're taking my protein. Well, there they went. Whatever.
Yeah, you got to just bring the powder.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, it's like, how insane, man. Let's talk about bending. And I know initially Bud Jeffries was a big inspiration to you to get into it. I mean, obviously it was that, but was it – how did you discover bending? I mean, was it out on, you know, Facebook, or you're getting, you know, different emails from people that are doing
it? No, it was, you know, I saw Iron Tamer do it a few times. I know Iron Tamer long before Facebook times. When I started with the RKC, I got certified to the RKC for kettlebells in, 2006 or 2007. I think it was six, maybe seven. Anyway, but I met him back then, and I started seeing that he was doing it, and that was kind of, I thought it was interesting. It never occurred to me that it was something that I could also do. I was just kind of like, well, he's a monster, and so he can do that. And then I met Bud Jeffries at another workshop that I had gone to with Dan John, and I was very interested in what Bud was doing, so I went to something that he was teaching, and then he started showing me how to bend stuff.
Yep.
And I just freaking loved it. And so I've been, you know, I took a break from it for a long time because I didn't know where to get the steel from. Yep. And it was, you know, it's not a cheap hobby.
No, it's not.
I mean, you know, this stuff, you know, costs a fair amount, but then I started really missing it, and I saw I went to Italy for another workshop, and Tamer was at it, and he was bending stuff, and I was like, you know what, I need to start doing that again. So I got back into it again, and I found a steel supplier, and I haven't stopped since. So,
well, did you know he's on the show? We did a show yesterday, David.
Just yesterday, I saw that.
He's awesome. He told me yesterday on the show, and believe it or not, this is no bull. You'll hear it if you listen to him. He's like, I look forward every month to coming on here. He goes, these shows are incredible, man. I was like, well, thanks. And he's like, you know, blah, 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 blah. And something, no, I haven't told anybody this yet, but Dan John's going to be on Monday with us. So,
I love him. He's the best.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because I got some good questions for him. I don't know if they've been asked to him before, but I don't know if they're going to be asked the way I'm going to do them. So, going to be very informative. Okay, so you're bending steel. You've got some people now you're looking up to. I mean, obviously it was something you took to. I mean, you've done a lot of things. I mean, what was it about? Mm-hmm. What was it about it? I mean, what was different about bending than? Let's say, you know, you've got all those crazy monkey bars and you've got maces and you played with, you know, weights and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Why did it grab you so?
Because it was something that was really hard for me.
Okay.
And I don't like not being able to do things.
I love it.
Beautiful. But it was something that was really hard for me, but it was also something that I knew that I could do if I practice it. And and it felt like once I finally would get a bend, it was so satisfying to me that I was like, no, I want to do that again. It's like a drug, you know, it's like, I want to do that again. So that's basically why, you know, it was like, I want to bend that and I can't bend it and it's really pissing me off. And that was basically what it came down to, as opposed to, you know, something like gymnastics. Gymnastics, I think, is awesome, and there are a lot of things that I can't, you know, like levers and stuff. I see people do them and I want to do it and I can't. And it's just, I don't care enough about it to practice it enough to get good at it.
Right.
You know? So once in a while I'll be like, oh, let me try a lever. Oh, nope. Still can't do it. And then I don't do it for a while. Whereas the bending, I'm like, no, I'm going to keep working on that until I get that thing bent. There's something about it that just clicked with me.
Now, most people aren't going to know about the steel, obviously, and I know there's all different steel strengths you're bending. What, I mean, obviously, I've got stuff out in the yard, very light stuff, you know, just keep twisting it and bending it, et cetera, et cetera. And I know that's usually how you start. Now, I've seen you twist some pretty heavy-duty looking stuff. How long did it take you to get to the point you are now where, I mean, for instance, anybody that doesn't understand, like, what are you using as far as, you know, sizes of steel, thickness of steel, dimensions like that? I mean, I know that some people might not understand it, but it's very interesting. And just kind of tell us your progression, like where you started, you know, where you got to a point where you're comfortable. And obviously today you're really twisting pretzels all over. And where do you want to go from here, Melody?
Well, I started out with long bending because that was the easiest one for me. In comparison, you know, and at first I could just kind of bend stuff into U shapes and that was it. And that, you know, it's like half inch by 4 feet is kind of what I started with. And I got it in, you know, I would keep doing it, you know, bend it into a U shape. And then the next time I did it, I got it into a fishtail. And then the next time it was a bigger fishtail. And then I started looping it around. So, I'm about to the point where most stuff about that size, I can do a nice good loop all the way around. I'm a kind of a novice at rolling frying pans, but I'm getting better at it. Those are harder for me to come by, because most of the ones that are available are ones that can't really be rolled, or at least not by me yet. So it's hard for me to practice those because I can't usually find pans that work. But I'm getting a little better at that. And the thing that was always my nemesis was short bending nails. I had bought a big pack of Iron Mind white nails, and I was, you know, I'd tried for years to even kink one of these things, and I just couldn't get it. And then one day, I worked with Chris Ryder on it for a little bit. He's one of my mentors, and he just like got me in the right position, and something clicked, and it went like butter. And so then I started crushing white nails for a while, and then something happened to, like, I got a pack of green nails. I got one green nail and something felt weird in my shoulder when I did it. And so all of a sudden I couldn't bend anymore at all. Like I couldn't bend anything. And it was so frustrating for me. And that went on for like over a month. And finally I went to the chiropractor and he popped something back in place, and all of a sudden I could bend again.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Yeah, that was so frustrating.
Yep.
But now I'm doing 40D nails pretty well. So I just, like, literally, that's why I when you called me and I said 5 minutes, because I was getting out of my car, because I just went and picked up a pack of 50D nails.
Nice.
That I'm going to try working on. So, but there's, it looks like to me, because I'm comparing the two of them, it looks like there's a big difference between the 40D and the 50D. So that might be a little bit of a stretch for me.
That's cool. Let me, what are you doing? I mean, a lot of people do grip work, finger work, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. I got one of the, they don't make it anymore, but I love that Titans Telegraph, because when I get done next year with Iceland, I've got a Thomas Inch sitting on the ground. I pulled it off maybe about 3 inches, and that was a couple years back. I just don't have the time to devote to it right now with all the other stuff. So I've taught, you know, Bill Hinburn's a regular on here, and you know, we're always talking grip and things of that nature. And one of the things he, relayed to me was this: keep training that thumb. Get those thumbs super big, because usually if that thing's going to spin in your hands, and we know they do, a lot of times the thumb is going to be the culprit with everything. So I've been really, really training the thumb regardless, because obviously I need that with the stones. What are you doing, if anything, for your hands, fingers, wrists to accomplish anything with this bending?
That's where all the mace stuff and the, you know, Bulgarian bags and the monkey bars and stuff come in for me.
Okay.
Because I do a lot of hanging from stuff, and I do a lot of rotational strength work. And, you know, the grip work that you do on the mace and the grip work that you do on the clubs, you know, you mentioned Don's 8X club. I have two of them. I love those
things. Oh, you do got them?
Oh, yeah. I have two of them. And I have I studied Indian clubs under Ed Thomas.
Okay.
And, I assisted him at a workshop, and he's amazing. But I do a lot of, you know, stuff with Indian clubs. I'm actually writing a research paper on them right now.
You're a badass. I got to tell you, man. You are a badass. I love it. It's awesome.
Thanks.
Donnie, let me tell you something. he's become quite a friend of the show, and we might even be doing some stuff next year down the road. That club he sent me is phenomenal.
Isn't that awesome?
Holy God. And you know what I like about
cool
it, Melody?
About it, what's that?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
But you know what I really like about it is it's not a cumbersome thing.
No,
you know,
it's not. It's not.
And I think for, you know, look at, I think there's a lot of market out there, especially on the women's side of stuff, and mm-hmm. that's why we just built this new Hoosa steel stone called the Crusher. It weighs 70 pounds out of the gate, but mm-hmm. it's it has all the dimensions of the big one. That's 185
right.
cold.
Right.
This stone will hold well over 400 in it. But the beauty of it is, and people were asking me about it. There was women that were asking me about it. I know. Do you have anything smaller? Do you have anything lighter? I said, we're working on it. It's the same way with the club. I think for anybody, and I'm talking guys, gals, especially women that are not overly big, that have not done a lot of that stuff, that club, I think, is phenomenal. I love it. Yeah, you know what I like doing just with it? Like, I like just walking around with it in my hand, like hanging, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's like a baseball bat. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, it's a great thing, and Donnie is a super guy. He's a former mm-hmm. New Yorker, but he'll always be a New Yorker, and he's down in Florida, and that's mm-hmm. where they're produced. And I'm very happy for him. He hooked up with Steve Cotter. They're doing some stuff, and he's like, I'd like to have Steve come on with me sometime. I said, well, we'll talk about that next year, because I was like, right now, it's just like, we can't do anything. You're coming on, and that's it, and it's great. But, yeah, all right, so, yeah, the Indian clubs, I mean, I like his. I've had it for a week now. I'm going to really work it, because I really banged my left shoulder up this year, and that's what killed me from going to Iceland. Mm-hmm. I had to train around it for about 12 and a half weeks. You're just not, you know, the power's there and everything, but it's just like it's a little late in the game to go. I did that one year, and I got caught in the storm, and I don't really care about that. But especially with Bill and I talking today, if there's going to be something coming, if not, I'll definitely be there next year. But if he's going to put together something, and we can, I'm going to go out and look for all types of see if we can get some sponsorship for it. I would love to do this, because I'll tell you, this will be big, and anybody that participates in this is going to get some noise for sure. Not only that, I'll be doing podcasts every day from Iceland, so that'd be pretty sick, you know what I mean? But this isn't about me. as far as this goes with you, okay, so you know, now we're into the nails, the bending, and we're talking about, obviously, you do a lot of hanging, a lot of mace mm-hmm. work. Let me mm-hmm. ask you this. If we got a guy or a girl just starting out and they want to start bending, and one of the focal points, you know, they hear us or they read some stuff and they're not sure, what would you tell somebody just out of necessity, grip work, squeezing a softball? What would you tell the beginner?
Probably the cheapest and easiest is the rice bucket.
There you go.
You know, you just get a bucket, you fill it up, you go to, you know, Costco or you know, whatever, the dollar store, fill it up with really cheap rice, and you just stick your hand in there, and you just, you know, close your hand and open your hand over and over again. That's it. That's the cheapest one, you know. But just hanging from bars, and, you know, because there's different kind of grip.
Yeah.
So it depends on what kind of grip you want to build. I like to go all the angles, because you need all of that for different kinds of bending. You know, for phone book tearing, I would say a pinch grip probably comes more into play.
Yep.
Whereas for bending nails, it's more, you know, crushing strength than anything, you know, because you're doing a lot of, you know, pulling your elbows towards each other with that one. And then with the steel bending, it's more like the long bending. It's more of it's more like a deadlift than anything else.
Yep.
So, you know, so it's different kinds of grip for all of it. And so I just try to train it in every way I can. I do, you know, farmer walks and pinch grip, you know, lifts, you know, where you pick up the plates and just hold them.
Sure.
Stuff like that.
Have you ever done any stone lifting?
Yeah, I have 3 stones in my studio. I can pull the 120 right now.
Nice. When we get a chance, I'm going to talk. I want to talk to you. I know that you're pressed for time, Tay, but we're going to have to make a phone chat, because I want to talk to you about some pieces that I'd like to talk to you about maybe making. if you'd want to
do it.
Oh,
yeah, for sure. Totally.
But we've actually
made stones before.
I've got that Hoos of Steel stone. We'll talk offline because I don't want to take any time from you. Okay, so we're definitely into the grip stuff big time. How much do you think your training affects your grip? I mean, the thing I'm trying to do right now with the show especially is we're working hard, very hard right now. We seem to be doing very well promoting lifting stones, a lot of Highland Games, a lot of gripping, obviously, the mental attitude. And then we've got the real good end of where it all came from through Bill Hinburn. We got Brooks Kubik back now. And we got John McKean, which those three are the top guns, man. We had Peter Martin not coming on, but we lost Peter a few weeks ago, unfortunately, and we're working on David Webster for the history. So we've got a lot of stuff here, but what lifts that you would say you feel directly would give you some effect with bending that we could tell the audience?
Well, everything kind of feeds on each other. But, one of the techniques you use, for instance, in a pull-up or a deadlift or even a bench press, is you kind of try to break the bar, if that makes sense, in order to engage your lats. And so what are you doing? You're bending a bar, right? You're bending a bar that won't move. So you're doing an isometric bend every time you deadlift, every time you do a pull-up, every time you do a bench press, you're basically doing an isometric bend. So I think all of that, my powerlifting, I think, is a really good complement to the steel bending.
Definitely. And that's the thing. Like you said, everything kind of feeds off each other. And, this is why, it's good to be good in something, but it really robs you of everything. Because Bill and I were talking about that today. It's like, there's a lot of people out there that are, and we know a lot of the stuff on FB is all bullshit, a lot of it, And it's like specialists are good, but I don't think it's anything great. Now, look, anybody that can go out and pull a 1,000-pound deadlift, I'm going to give them kudos, all right? But tell me this. Can you bend a light piece of steel? Can you go to Iceland and just cold lift that rock? Or could you put – here's the strength feat I always say, and most people can't do it. Could you clean and press 300 and put it over your head weighing 330? Chances are probably not, all right?
Well, probably not, but that's the thing though. It has to, you train for that.
Right.
And
right,
so it's
right.
A different thing. So it's like people keep telling me, "Oh my god, you should go do Ninja Warrior." No, I shouldn't, cuz I don't train for that, I don't ever do any of that stuff. So I would suck at that. Maybe if they had monkey bars, I'd be okay, but that's about it.
Yeah, you could put the ninja outfit on and swing on the bars, right?
Yeah. I mean, not only that, but I don't like heights and I don't like water, so
that's not going to work for you then. There isn't going to be like climbing up the side of a mountain or anything like that. But the point I said with Bill is this. I think the true mark of somebody strong this is coming from me now, right? That I admire is this, that maybe you're not the best in everything, but you're real good in a lot of stuff. And it's like I said to him, when I went over to Iceland and you hear all that negative chat, why do you want to do this? And you could get hurt and blah, 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 blah. And I said, I don't really care, because it's like this. I think the true mark of a real strength athlete, any athlete, is to be able to step out of that comfort zone, go somewhere. I mean, I left the United States of America. I went to another country. I didn't know jack shit where I was. I'd never been in any type of situation like that. Obviously, we tore biceps there. That was not planned. But you know what? I admire somebody that's got the guts to go do something like that because, my chiropractor, John Ridge, we lost him almost 2 years, and he was real, real old school. Anybody that knows anything about chiropractic, he was a Palmer graduate, and not the Palmer graduates of today. He was the one that, they taught Atlas Axis, and that's the top of your neck. There's two points. And he was phenomenal. And he was a big mentor to me, and he was very supportive of, going after the dream here with FBC and M&M. And I was feeling pretty shitty when I came back from there. And, everybody was pretty cool. Nobody said I told you so. And I don't think that would have been a smart move anyways with me because it could have been violent if something like that went off. And everybody understood, I think. And he said to me one day, he says, and he was New Hampshire all the way. He still had his accent. I wish I could do him. And we were sitting there in the front of his office, and His father was a chiropractor, if you can believe it, and a barber in New Hampshire. And it sounded, the stories were unreal, he used to tell. And he had one of those real old school barber chairs in there, and it even had like the leather strap, the sharp and the straight edge still on it. And it was in really nice condition. It had the marble, you know, armrests or handles, whatever you want to call them, right? And I used to love to sit in that chair. I loved it because you put your feet on that big metal thing and all that in front of you. And he said to me, he goes, I want to tell you something. And I'm like, what? He says, I'm very proud of what you've done. And I was like, yeah, but I said, I failed. He said, you didn't fail. He goes, do you realize how many people before you and who knows how many will go after that have gone after that thing? And pass or fail with it, man, he said, you still had the guts to go over and do that no matter what happened and not be afraid what public opinion was or anything like that. And he says, I admire what you did. And he says, I think what you did is spectacular. So, you know, people, I think, admire, they might not understand what you do, same way with what you do, but there's admiration there. It's almost like those Rocky movies with the underdog, man. It's like, can you go somewhere like that, or can you get this big piece of steel? And, you know, you're 5 foot, and everybody's like, oh, my God, you know, too much for her. She's too tiny. And suddenly you take the thing and just break it right in front of their face, and they're like, they're in awe. See, that's what I admire about people. I admire people that aren't afraid. I don't ever call anything a failure. Even what I did was no failure. It was just, it happened, okay? I just think when you hightail it out of somewhere, or you go somewhere like, you know, you do with seminars, or, you know, you're taking books and tearing them in pieces and you're putting yourself out on the line. Hey, when you go out and sing in front of your bands, you're putting yourself out in front of everybody. If you suck that night or something goes wrong and, you know, you're going to hear all kinds of shit. And if you get some reporter there that's really got their nose up in the air, you know, a pen can hurt you pretty bad. I don't care who you are. So that's my point. I think that it's so important to not be afraid to go out and make a little noise, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's just how I see it. As far as, you know, I know we've got time constraints here. Tearing, let's get into that because we've got a little bit of time here. Tell me what the deal is with tearing. How did you get into that, and why you seem to really be very, very involved with it right now? What does that bring to you, you know, mentally,
well,
spiritually?
Well, that's the same way, you know, I got into it the same way as the ceiling, because the steel bending. It was, you know, when I was hanging out with Bud, and he showed me the bending, yeah. He showed me the tearing too. So, and that was something I could not do at all. Like I could not tear anything. And now I can tear a full deck of Mavericks. I can tear about, 30, 35, casino cards, like bicycle standards I can do. And then I can do a 1,000-page phone book pretty easily.
Oh.
And I do a lot of like plastic coated catalogs and things like that. So now, there's just something satisfying about it.
It is. I mean, it's nice to take things and just destroy them. That's
all. Yeah.
But tell me this. I mean, you know, give a little description, everybody. All right. Let's say you've got. Let's say it's one of those glossy magazines. All right. I don't know how many pages. Let's just say, are they usually at least 120 pages, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, depending on it, they're usually 300 or so, the ones that I tear.
Okay, so when you're doing this, are you just give a description to everybody in the audience. Are you bracing that against your thigh when you're doing it? How are you are you rolling it in some way? Just describe.
Well, I was actually taught to do it from a standing position, but I actually apparently, I mean, from Dennis Rogers told me that the way I do it is harder. I don't know. But I do it seated. It just feels better to me, so that's how I do it.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, it's really about how you're gripping the book, and you want to make sure that you're pulling along, you're not going against the grain of the fiber. The reason why catalogs and magazines are so much harder than phone books a lot of the time is because they don't have a clear grain of the paper for the most part. Those glossy pages, a lot of times, it's a lot of work to figure out which way the grain of the paper goes. And so I was working on one for a long time that I had gotten a pretty good tear into, but I couldn't get it any further. And then I realized I was completely going against the grain of the magazine.
Okay,
and,
yeah.
I was actually pretty proud of myself because I'd gotten what I did against the grain. But, yeah, it's good isometric work if you do it that way.
Man, you got to have some strong-ass hands. I mean it.
God, you know, it's funny because just been asked – I was asked out of the blue to do like a small miniature – strong woman show, strong man, strong, I don't know. I don't know what you call it either, strong person show.
Yeah.
I was asked to do, you know, demonstrate at a powerlifting event. And I'll tell you what, my first thought was that I was terrified because I don't think that I'm, like, I don't think I'm that impressive compared to, you know, I look at other people like Christina DeVos and people like that and what they're capable of. And I feel like I'm, you know, I'm kind of pathetic next to people like that. But, you know, I also have to remind myself that you can't compare yourself to other people all the time. And apparently this guy thought that I was impressive enough that he wanted to demonstrate in front of a bunch of powerlifters. So I guess, you know, that's pretty good. So I'm trying to get out of my own head. And I think that's part of my own problem is that I'm always in my own head where I'm always like, even when I'm lifting in competition, whatever, I'm like, oh, look at that. That guy can lift more than me. That girl can do better than me. And I have to get out of that mindset and just concentrate on me. So that's one weakness that I have a lot.
Well, for what it's worth, I wouldn't even bother getting in touch with it if I didn't think that you're something pretty damn good. I don't bring anybody on here that, you know, you know what I mean? It's like you see you doing that stuff. Anybody that wouldn't be impressed with that's got something wrong with their brain. So, I mean,
thank you so much.
You know, well, you're welcome. But, I mean, never be your worst enemy because we usually are. As lifters and the way we develop ourselves mentally and physically, we're always our worst critics, and that's not the best thing to be doing either. I'm guilty of that many times too. You know what that can do to you? It can take you right out of your game, and we don't want to do that. You know?
Totally. I was brought up in that family where, like, if you got an A-, they were like, why didn't you get an A? So for me, too. Like, if I don't do something perfect, it's like it's like heartbreaking for me. So, you know, I'll, like, for instance, if I go and perform, if I go sing and I do a show, I'll look at the video after and I'll just sit there and nitpick my whole performance, you know. And it's just like, it's like if I saw someone else doing that, I would – give him a piece of my mind and be like, why are you doing that to yourself? Stop it. But I do the exact same thing. Like, I just sit there and like, oh, that sucked. Why did that note sound like that? You know?
Perfection is tough. And I think that's the thing with all of us that love doing this craft. I just think we're all perfectionists and we're very creative. And when you unleash those things, and most people don't understand that because they've been sitting on it their whole life. It can become daunting on you at times, but on the other hand, you got to look at what you've done, what you achieved, and, you know, look at the next 10 years of your life. Where are you going to be? What do you want to do? All that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the great thing. Well, look, I know that we got some time here and we're just about at the end of the show. Why don't you give everybody all your information, anything that's coming up? I'll give mine. If you just would hang on the line for a minute, please. And we'll roll.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You can find me on Facebook really easily. Just look up my name. Or Evil Monkey is EvilMunkeyEnt.com. So you can see what we do there. My fitness business is flawlessfitness.com. And I also have a link to my blog there, which I've been terrible about writing in because I just finished my master's degree and I've just pretty much been writing papers for that the whole time. So I need to get back into writing for that. So I have that. But I'm very Facebookable.
Okay. That's good. All right. So this is Motivation Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com, Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111, heartscollision.com. And also 8xclub.com. Don't forget to talk to Donnie. Tell him we sent you. The 10 top ways to build mind and muscle. It's a free ebook. Just give us your email address. Like I said, simplicity is the best form of everything, I believe. And we're going to show everybody what simplicity will do for you. Believe me. Don't forget, strength times power equals success. The winner's circle, all out on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. I do believe they are life-changing programs I put together. If you really want to take a shot on yourself And, you know, everybody can get a hold of me. I don't say no to anybody. But with that program, you know, you'll have access to me 24/7. I will help you out any way I can. Also, don't forget about sponsorship. FiorelloBarbellCo.com or MotivationMuscle.com. $500 a month is going to get you 5 to 15 shows. And as you can tell, I'm talking about it all at the end of the show. We're going to grow this place. We will have over 1 million listeners right now. We're close to 10,000 downloads now a month. And we just celebrated our year anniversary 2 weeks ago. I am kicking ass. I'm working 7 days a week. I can't tell you how many hours when I get done with Melody here. I'm going to take a little break, but I'll be working, you know, probably within the next hour again, have dinner, and I'll work at least till probably 9 o'clock tonight, Eastern Standard Time. So, this is real serious for us. We want to help you out with your branding. If you need any help with that, Chris Bigelow can do that, monsterdevelopment.com. I've got 2 listeners already that are contacted them today. This is great stuff. Just spread the word. And also, too, I'm trying to think. I think that's all we got there. So you want to go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationAndMuscle.com, iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten from everybody. I thank you. Also, too, we're on Facebook, Fiorello Barbell, Motivation and Muscle, Twitter at Fiorello Eric. If there's a show you'd like Melody and I to do, contact me at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. And I'll leave you with this stuff here. If somebody seeks you out in the concrete jungle or the gym, don't be afraid to give them your time. You never know. Words have great effect on people. Be a steward of strength and help people. Secondly, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to somebody or give them a smile. That might be all they get. And I'll tell you right now, I meet up with that a lot. People are startled when you say good morning to them now. I mean, I think that's insane. But that's where we're living right now. Thirdly, go out and just bend up some iron, take some stones and turn them into dust. And don't forget, as the Hoos of Steel Crusher Stone says, in blood red on both sides, domination. We are domination. We will be over 1 million strong. And I'm telling you right now, as Russell Furr says, who's one of the listeners, when I listen to your shows, I swear testosterone is dripping out of my speakers. We're getting our point across. A lot of people that haven't trained. I have one gentleman, Alan, 10 years he didn't train, listened to the podcast, he's back lifting again. That's what we're all about. Come to our table. We don't care if you lift a 450-pound stone or a 100-pound stone. You're always welcome in our family. That's what I want to do with this show, and this is where we're going with it. And that's why, you know, we aren't following the path. We're creating the path. Melody, thanks for being on the show. I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So for Melody Schoenfeld, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. We are going to have Melody on. I'm going to talk to her. We're going to, if we don't get her on monthly in 16, we're going to have her on every month. But I am trying to work some magic right now. And this isn't a bad thing to have when you got a lot of people that want to come on, or I ask them and they say yes. And like I said, we're increasing the blog size like crazy. We're getting more and more people to write. And we're doing more and more video, and this is what it's all about. So, for Melody Schoenfeld, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks, everybody. I've got shows all weekend. I'm going to get this posted as quick as I can. As you know, I'm very behind, but there's a lot of business going on behind the scenes that I have to be part of with that, too. So, I am a one-man show, and I'm doing everything I can, but we're going to make it, so don't worry. So, have a good weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.